Welcome back to a brand new Creative Encounter Podcast episode. I'm your host, Juett Z. Payne, and you are back for episode 68 of this podcast. Welcome. If this is your first time, go ahead and subscribe and hit the bell so you don't miss any episodes. We drop one every single week. But without further ado, I'm here with a very good friend of mine. I interviewed his wife some months ago. And we said, if we got together, it may get a little crazy up here, but we're going to try to compose ourselves. But it's going to be a good time. But this is my guy, Garrett Black. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so good to see you. Man, thanks for coming out, bro.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So tell me, how has it been? Because you're juggling a few things.
Yeah.
You're juggling a few things. So Garrett is a creative, but you're also a pastor too, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy. So you're going to have to tell the folks right away about the balance of that, you know, because the idea of like, you know how it is being a creative. We have so many ideas and things that we want to venture into, but now you have to actually shepherd people. It's not, you know, it's not just like, oh, I just work as a part of the church. You're actually, you know, shepherding folks.
Right.
So just tell me how, like, you know, how that's going as far as the balance and everything, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm pastoring, right? I'm doing video.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I'm actually a board member at my HOA, so my condo complex, which is a pretty big undertaking because we're about a 300 unit complex.
Wow.
So, and then on top of that, we're in the midst of the reason why I'm a board member is because there was a group of us that suspected that the previous board was involved in some fraudulent activity.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically ran a campaign to remove them.
Yeah.
But now we're involved going after them legally.
Yeah.
So it kind of added another layer of just things that I was involved in.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you got creative, then you got pastoring, I had to get really good to the ability, or as much as I was able to segment off my weeks.
Yeah.
And so I even went in and created a weekly rhythm for every day of the week, just trying to figure out, all right, how do I compartmentalize these things to the best of my ability? Because some things you can't compartmentalize. You know, emergency comes up.
Yeah.
Crisis comes up.
Mm-hmm.
With creative, I do a lot of video work.
Mm-hmm.
There's some gigs that are, you know, right in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
Next week, I'm filming 5 days in a row, right? So I had to get really good at, with the things that I can plan, getting ahead of it and being really, look, I really struggled with being a procrastinator.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got into this season of life, I realized that I had to deal with that quickly because you can't procrastinate. And so if it's within my control, I need to be proactive about it. And so, you know, I'm learning how to get ahead on my sermons, right?
That's
so I'm not just doing it every week, but how do I get 2-3 weeks out? So that just kind of proactive mentality was big for me and just for, and then the other thing to that was, you know, the leadership that I have above me was articulating to them, you know, I understand my responsibilities as a pastor.
Yeah.
Although I'm the lead pastor of my church, I'm still accountable. I still have a board. I still have another lead pastor that I'm under for a time until we're autonomous.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've been very gracious with me, understanding that there's, for instance, next week, I won't be in the office at all because I'll be out filming all week.
Yeah.
So I had to gain their trust that I'm going to get the job done that I'm responsible for, even if I'm not holding to the, you know, the office hours that I'm supposed to work, and that I'm making that up in other areas,
that's
right?
So good,
so I had to get their trust on that. But all that combined, so my accountability to myself and accountability to those over me and getting their trust has really, that's what made it work.
That's
Otherwise, it just wouldn't work.
Wow, that's so good. Yeah, accountability is key in any fashion, but especially in ministry,
right?
Having accountability. Because right now, I don't know if you knew this past year, as of January, I stepped into a worship pastor position.
I did not
know that. At Hope Church Midway.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's been great. But even with that, I've been all these new responsibilities. Like, I'm not an admin person. I'm just someone who's just like creative and just execute.
Mm-hmm.
And Gabby really just helps to like help with all the administrative things.
Yeah.
But in this position, like using Planning Center,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've over the years just accepted it and stuff.
Right,
you know,
right.
Last time I was in a position, it was kind of just me and someone else on a worship team. So we didn't really need to use PCO.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like scheduling people and I have to like, they like want it at least a month in advance to kind of have it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, snap. So I got to really go to that next level. But it's really good because it helps you just, God is just a God of structure and order anyway and stuff, and that's how stuff is excellent.
Yeah.
Like, you were there at the live recording for, you know, my live event back in July. And with that, you know, some artists I was speaking to, Grammy-nominated artists, all these guys who are out there doing their thing, were telling me, like, the more structured it is, the more freedom you're going to have.
Right.
You know, if you have everything just laid out, that just, it's just perfection. You know, you can, instead of just pieces falling apart, no one's in sync, the musicians all over the place. So, man, dude, I love that you're doing that, bro.
Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate that's so that. Cool. Yes, sir. But we got to go back and tell people, outside of doing video, you're a musician too, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, guys, on my first record, Garrett is playing drums. Yeah.
Right Garrett's here playing in this
drums.
Room.
Yeah, he right here in this room. Literally, the drum set's right behind the camera.
Yeah.
Garrett played drums on like at least half to 75% of the tracks on that record.
Yeah.
And that was just so much fun. The whole season, dude, we got all these like blackmail videos on my YouTube channel. Yeah. How young we were, just like, oh, what are we doing? But like, dude, we had so much fun here on those tracks.
Yeah.
Remember the specific one, Please Near Your Sight?
Yep.
One took forever. And then Micah, bro. Micah, like, he had one little lick to do, dude.
Because
you remember the hit. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
You know? And Micah had one lick to do on the guitar. He was literally in the spot. It took him like 2 to 3 hours to do that one, like, 5 to 10 second little thing. And we were hearing tears crying. We're like, why do you keep messing this up?
Right,
like,
well, just right.
So it was just so much fun, bro. But tell me how you got into that as an artist, as a musician, as a drummer, just all of that too, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That started all the way back in high school. Yeah. So I was actually at my grandfather's funeral, and the pastor that was doing that funeral, I know him better, but highly prophetic guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows how to hear God, and so now I understand what was happening. But in the moment, I didn't understand. But we were sitting at a table, and this was after the funeral, and he was telling us how their church was moving from Indiana down to Florida, and they had all the stuff that they were trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
And he looks at me and he goes, do you want a drum set? Uh-huh. He's like, I'll give it to you for like $100, something like that. And so...
And you weren't playing yet?
No, not at all.
Oh, wow.
I don't even know how the topic came up.
Yeah.
But they ended up giving it to me. They gave it to me like for $50 because I didn't have $100. So I got $50, so they gave it to me for $50. And that was... He essentially sewed that into my life. And so I started practicing just by myself. I had a drum teacher.
Yeah.
And I wasn't, I didn't make a lot of progress.
Mm-hmm.
But when it really happened was a shift happened in our church where the worship pastor was moving on, was moving back to Nebraska where he was from. And so the shift happened where the bass player went to lead, the drummer went to bass, and it left the drums open.
Wow.
And so they basically, they didn't ask me, they told me, this is what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Dude, I was a hot mess. I didn't know time signatures.
Oh, God,
I wasn't coming in at the right time. Yeah. I was cutting out too early. My most famous moment was we were in a 6/8 song, and in the bridge there was a cutout.
Okay.
I come in after the cutout in 4/4.
I got nervous when the news coming. I'm like, no.
It's like default. I went back to 4/4.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just doing all that kind of stuff. But I was grateful because I learned in the crucible, right? I didn't have an option to not learn. I had to do it. And so that was, you know, that was just the most important part of me learning.
Yeah.
And then I discovered the joy of music, right? The joy of, once I got through the nerves and I was kind of in a place where I'm like, all right, I can hang with a band.
Mm-hmm.
I encountered the joy of just playing with a band, you know, finding a rhythm, you know, playing off one another. And that's when, you know, music was, just became a, you know, I'm not sure if I'd classify it as a passion, but something I really enjoyed to do, you know?
That's so cool, man. Yeah. I remember, same thing with me with bass guitar.
Mm-hmm.
There was like an opening in the youth ministry at the time. And I barely just started playing only cause I was hanging out with people after school in high school, and the reading teacher in high school, he had a bass guitar in the closet and everybody's playing electric guitar and all this stuff, whatever. And I just picked it up. I'm like, oh, let me just goof around. And then started playing on the worship team. Same thing. Like, I was like, okay, just sustain this note, sustain this note, whatever. And you started actually, okay, now I'm going to kind of lock in with the drummer and then start doing your own stuff after that. And then just evolve. So God always just puts us in those positions to, you know, elevate us and stuff, you know?
Right.
So crazy. And then, another thing was we were in the same campus ministry together, which is crazy. So I just feel like, man, we just been like in every season of life. Honestly, if you guys see like this room, we actually painted it. Now it looks different from the other videos, and it's black in honor of Garrett's last name and the fact that I am too. But we just go way back in so many ways, so many areas. So when you were in college, which college did you go to?
Columbia.
You're at Columbia. Nice. Mm-hmm. So when you're in college, what were you going to school for specifically?
So I originally started going there for film.
So you did go for film.
Yeah.
And you're still doing it. Yeah. That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
Well, so the funny thing about that story is that I went there for film. I took one screenwriting class, but then I actually switched over to marketing and advertising because I had always loved marketing all my, you know, I always liked it. But then when I got there, I took one class and I remember just, I don't know. I was just like, you know what? This is what I want to study. Mm-hmm. The funny part is I've never done anything in advertising or marketing, what I'm saying? And then I somehow ended back up in film years later.
Wow. Okay.
Because I don't know if you knew this, but when I was in Chi Alpha, my junior year of college, God told me to give away all my camera gear. So I did because it had actually become an idol in my life. Mm. I was trying to, you know, the reason I was doing film originally was I was trying to make a name for myself. Yeah. I was trying to, and it was just really unhealthy. And I remember the Lord was like, I want you to give everything away. So I remember within 2 days of him speaking that to me, I packed up everything.
Wow.
And I don't know if you remember Ralph Monroe at Chi Alpha.
Maybe. But anyway, Ralph. Yeah, big Ralph. Yeah.
I prayed. I'm like, Lord, who do I give this to? Yeah. And he's like, give it to Ralph. So I packed it all up. I gave it to Ralph. And I didn't, I remember, if I can share this story.
Yeah.
The day that I, or the week that I gave that camera gear away, Canon, the camera company, was coming to campus, and they were a part of like this, you know, this just event on campus. Yeah. They were giving away a 5D, right? Which, you know, still is a nice camera, but at the time it was like, so I thought the whole time, I thought I knew what God was doing. I'm like, all right, God, you want me to give away this camera, and then you're going to give me that 5D. I know what you're going to do, right? So I signed up for this thing. Okay. I'm as confident as ever. Yeah. I'm like, I'm just waiting for the email to come in. And then the email comes in, and it's not me.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, all right, well, God's going to do something else, Well, it goes, it had to be, I don't know, 6 years until I owned another camera, right? And I remember I kept asking God, I'm like, all right, is it time yet? Is it time yet? Can I buy a camera? And he kept saying no. And the way I got back into it was I started working at a seminary in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And right when I got there, the guy that was my boss was like, hey, we just bought all this camera gear. Yeah. And they had two Canon 60s, and they had all this lighting and this audio stuff. And he's like, I don't know how to use it. Do you know how to use it?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I kind of do. So so I started doing videos, and that was literally like the resurrection of video in my life. That's was crazy. Through that. And everything I've pretty much everything I've done since then has been in some form connected to ministry with
That's
video.
So crazy.
So God totally, he killed it.
Yeah.
He let it die.
Wow.
And then when it was finally dead, and I got to the point where I thought I'd never do video again, I was okay with it. I was like, all right. He's like, all right, let's resurrect it now.
Dude, that's
it's,
so good.
It's not for you anymore. That's and so you good. Know that. Wow. So he brought it back.
Man, dude, he's always breaking us, breaking us to the core so he can use us. Use us fully in what he wants to call us to do, you know? It's like, that's so good because, it can't be unhealthy. It can't be idealistic, even with the music and stuff, whatever. You know, we have all these audacious goals and it's great to set goals and everything, but you got to realize, like, who's the core, who's the center, and who's the focus of these things, you know? That's why I just love the heart of this podcast is to focus on Kingdom Creative specifically and what we're doing out there to show, like, yo, we're out there doing things and killing it for the Lord first and foremost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. That's so cool, man.
Thanks.
That's insane. Wow. Okay, so now at what point did it shift into being a minister? Like, you know, when did that start coming in? Because I know when we were working on that first record, we were still gigging together between, I'll say, 2015 to, like, maybe about 18.
Maybe a little bit after. So in 2016, that's when I went to California. Because if you remember, I moved to California right after that.
Yeah, because I think we were going to work on some other stuff, and then you moved.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Wow.
Yeah, so the ministry thing actually came back in probably 20... So when I was in Chi Alpha, another crazy thing that God told me to do, and my parents did not... My parents thought that I was up to something else, but I really wasn't. I was working at Starbucks. I loved my job there.
Yeah.
And I felt the Lord was like, I want you to quit your job, right? And the reason I know this was God is that goes against everything that I believe in, right? Like, I like to work. I believe in working to put food on the table for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this was against the grain of, like, what I would normally do, but I really sensed the Lord told me to do it. So I quit my job there.
Yeah.
And at the time, I had a car payment.
Mm.
And I didn't have any income coming in. And I was under the impression that I owed a certain amount on my car.
Yeah.
And so after a couple months went by of no income, and I didn't feel like the Lord released me to go work again, I watched my savings dwindle, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm still making that car payment, And it got to the point where I'm like, I thought I owed like $5,000 on this car still. And I made the last payment that I could make with what I had in my savings account. And I'm thinking to myself, like, Lord, you got to do something, right? And so in that month where mm-hmm. I was waiting, I'm like, what am I going to do? I get a packet in the mail.
Yeah.
And it's the title to my car and a check for like $600.
Because you overpaid.
I overpaid.
Wow.
So I didn't owe $5,000. I didn't realize there was a second page of payments that I wasn't looking at.
Wow.
So I had actually paid off my car right about the time that I quit my job unknowingly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was paying those payments. So they reimbursed those payments.
Yeah.
They gave me, my car was paid off in that time.
Wow.
But it was in this, you know, in scripture, when people say God's name for the first time, like when Abraham said, the Lord, my provider, right?
Yeah.
Because he had a revelation of who he is.
Yeah.
And it was in that season that I had a revelation that God is my provider. And it was the same thing that he did. Like, he's like, I have to put you in a position so that you realize that you're not dependent upon yourself.
Mm.
And then I'm going to show you, right? So I had this revelation that he's my provider. And that was when, that's when I realized that I was also called to ministry. It was in that exact same season, right?
So
it was in that. But it took years for that to actually materialize and come back.
Yeah.
And I'll share one other funny thing about that.
Yeah.
In the story of Moses in Exodus, you know, he's raised up in the Egyptian culture.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something within him before God ever speaks to him about saving Israel that he somehow knows that's like his calling without God actually speaking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that we know this is that when he goes out, he sees an Israelite and an Egyptian arguing and he tries to save the Israelite, right? So he gets ahead of his calling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so here's what's funny is before, it was in 2015, I think it was, I ended up interviewing for a job that was at a church in Glen Ellen.
Yeah.
To be on their staff and ended up not going through.
And this is 2015.
This was 2015.
Okay.
Right after I felt called to ministry. Because I got all excited, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, God's called me to ministry. Let me do this, right? That's what always happens when God speaks. Our timing is way different than his.
Wow.
But here's the crazy thing. Yeah. It just dawned on me like last week, I pastor a church in Glen Ellen now.
Yeah.
That was almost 10 years later.
Is this the same spot?
Same city that I was trying to get a job at that church
That's
in,
crazy,
right? Because just like Moses, I was getting way ahead of the timing of God, right? And what are the chances that it ends up being the exact same city, right?
And then even with Moses, he had to put him in a season of testing in between before he went back.
Right.
Went back and, you know, a season of preparation, all that. You know, we see that with Jesus and everything, you know, preparation all the way before he actually sends you out and everything.
Right.
He has to cut some things off, you know, shave and prepare you and stuff. But that destiny and calling is always in us.
Right.
Like the specific thing that we are called to do is already in us from birth right away.
Yep.
It's so crazy, dude. That's so dope.
Wow. And just that we're able to like sense it.
Yeah.
You know, I just wonder how many people in the world, you know, that doesn't come to life until you actually have a relationship with God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like until you're plugged in, it's only like a sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you get plugged in, then you actually can manifest. You can see the reality of that in your life. And so, so that I was called back in probably like 2014, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
But then this is how it actually came about. When I came out of school in California, my pastor calls me from Downers Grove here in Illinois. And he's like, hey, I know you're coming home in a couple months. Our youth pastor that we had just fell through. Would you be interested in doing something like this?
Yeah.
He didn't know this at all, but literally for like months before that, every time I would pray, the Lord in the back of my mind just kept saying, youth pastor, youth pastor, youth pastor. I didn't want to be a youth pastor.
Yeah.
I wasn't asking to be a youth pastor. I wasn't praying about any of that.
Yeah.
But the Lord was already priming me. And this is one of the few times in my life that I was like, I didn't feel like I needed to pray about it because I'm like, the Lord's already spoke to me about this. So when he said, you know, is this something you'd be willing to do? I was like, dude, the Lord actually has been telling me this for months now.
Wow.
And now I know why, right?
That's so crazy.
So that's how I got into ministry was I started youth pastoring. And then that church is a church that sent me out a year and a half ago to plant.
That's so awesome, man. Praise God. This is so cool. I'm just hearing everyone's stories helps me to kind of put the pieces together, even in, like my own life, seeing those situations and moments of like, wow, this was God. Like the year before we started Chi Alpha in Chicago, it was my junior year going into senior year, and I was literally praying to God. I was like, man, before I graduate, I want to leave like an impact here at UIC. Literally, I was praying that. And I was going to a campus ministry called Servants. And that ministry was dope. It was mostly like Asian. It was like two black people. It was like me and some other guy or whatever. So it was dope. It was with my people, you know?
Yeah.
But so like I was in Servants, and one of my friends, her name is June, she came up to me. She's like, hey, there's a guy, his name is Todd, and he's trying to start this campus ministry called Chi Alpha, whatever, and stuff. You want to connect? I was like, yeah, sure. And literally junior year, met with Todd, talked and stuff. And I was like, I'll love it. And that's when, like, the next senior year is when, like, we started Chi Alpha.
Yeah.
And then you remember the Rathskeller?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'd be in the Rathskeller. And it was, at that time, I didn't even play acoustic guitar yet.
Wow.
So I was down there playing bass, singing, and I had Chan Mi. She was playing keys. So just keys and bass every week for the worship.
Nice.
And then eventually we had drums, and then God evolved it. I feel like it was the year after I graduated. I started 2012. I started playing acoustic guitar because we planted a new church, New Life Community Church, and needed a worship leader there. And I went there and I took that position and started learning and getting it. I was like, oh, sweet, that is dope. And yeah, dude, it's just crazy how the story is like, he puts it in your heart first.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that's why it's like, a lot of people don't want to come to the Lord because they feel like they're going to have to give up their desires and be like, oh, this is going to be fun, or I love doing these things and stuff. But he sets these new desires, and not just something where he's like forcing you to have the, it's like, it feels right in this peace in your spirit of like, you feel like this is me.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm supposed to do, you know? And God just puts all those pieces together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does. And he purifies it too, which is, there's a book by Watchman Nee. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him at all, but he has a book, I think it's called Christ the Sum of All Things.
Yeah.
And in that book, he said something that just changed the way I viewed just the process that God puts us through. And he talked about the cross and how the cross is a object of purification. Because he said, this is the point he made. He said, why did Jesus still have the nail marks after the resurrection, right? Because he had gone through the cross, he had been given his glorified body, but he still had the nail marks. Why? Because the nail marks were the will of God, and only what's of God's will can make it through the cross, but everything else can't make it through the cross,
that's
right?
So good. Wow.
So when we go through that process of death, what he's doing is actually removing everything that's not of him, so then only what's of him remains on the backside.
Yeah.
So that's the thing is, it is scary when you go through that process, because that is when God says, I want you to give this up. I want you, right? And it's scary.
Yeah.
But what happens is in that process, he purifies, and then when he brings it back, it's a whole different creation because now it's his life in it and not your own. It's not your will, but it's his will in it. And so it's a beautiful process in the end.
Yeah, man, praise God. I love it, man. And in that same, you know, line of thought there, you went back into film and things like that. So now things are refined, like you were just saying, and everything. So now in this new season, as a creative and as an artist, what are some projects that you're working on, some things that you are doing at the moment? Just like have like the opportunities that you're seeing now that are completely different from what it would have been had your heart kind of been in the same position as before.
Right, So, like a full 180 with what God's done. Yeah. So the biggest project that I'm working on now is I'm a in-house videographer for Seminary Now. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, but I think I've heard of it. Is it similar to, what's it called, Think Now?
Kind of like Right Now Media.
Right Now. That's like Right Now, but more so for like seminary and like church.
It's theologians, authors. So yeah, all this stuff, for me, it's amazing because I get to make really good content, but I get to hang out with all these world-class authors, theologians.
And just learn from them, bro.
We get to have lunch with them and talk with them. And that's just been, I mean, as a pastor, it's just so enriching for me because I get to ask them questions that I can't ask other people, right? Yeah. You know, and so I get to dig into their knowledge and just get to know them, befriend them. So that's one major project that I'm working on.
Yeah.
And this is just a testament to how long sometimes it takes God to materialize things that you pray for. Mm-hmm. But I remember I prayed when I first got saved, before God told me to give up my film gear, I prayed that God would surround me with people that, you know, that did film, that were Christians and believers, stuff like that. And it's kind of crazy because you fast forward all these years and the guy that also got brought on to the Seminary Now project, he's a videographer, has his own production company, he's a Christian. And then slowly, one by one, we have a group of about six of us now, and just by coincidence, we're all Christians, we all love film, and so we've actually started working together. It's it's called Right Film Edit on YouTube.
Let's go.
And so now we're starting to produce short films. We actually are writing some feature-length films.
Our guy Ariel, he's a part of this, right?
He's
mentioning it a few episodes ago. And Keila, that's Garrett's wife, Keila, does she act in some of these?
She was in one that we did called Scampire.
Yeah. That's so cool.
So that was actually our inaugural project together.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we did that. That was kind of what happened was, so my other partner's name is Seth. He's the guy that I film with the most on seminary now. And what would happen is we go, we spend so much time together because we travel to film a lot, you know, so we're flying and we have all these ideas. And it got to the point where like, we just need to do this now. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to stop talking about it. We just need to do it. And so Scampire was that project. Yeah, it was we're going to stop talking about it. We're going to do it. We got people around us, wrote a script. And then the cool thing that happened with that is once we launched that project, the amount of people that were like reaching out to us that, you know, some people are, you know, well-known in the film industry, have major followings. They're like, we want to be a part of this. Like, we love what you guys are doing. And so we just really sensed the favor of God on what we were doing. Like, there was clear favor on it because people wanted to be a part of it. And it just, it felt right. It's like, all right, God's on this. So we've been pushing, you know, we are, we have our hands in all kinds of stuff. But even tonight, that's what this webinar is. We're doing a live writer's room for a script that I wrote called Dare to Share, which... this long story short of the script is it's two police officers that go in to do a drug prevention program, but they end up giving so much information, they end up giving the students ideas. So it's like a comedy short.
So it's like Rush Hour. Like, I'm just kidding. Oh my goodness. Chris Tucker, Jackie. You and me?
Yeah.
Dude, that's so cool, man. Wow.
Yeah. So that's some stuff that, you know, I'm working on now.
Okay. No way. That's so crazy, man. I love that you're able to still have that gift to be cultivated, still being able to work it out and still connect with other creatives. Because that itch is always there. Like, when it's like, if you became, let's say, you know, you're doing full-time ministry, full-time pastoring and stuff, while you're there, you know, sometimes, I talk to pastors like, man, you used to play on the worship team. Don't you want to pick up the guitar sometimes? Stuff like, yeah, I do. You know, like, they still have those passions and stuff, but God has set you up in such a way where you're able to still be able to execute on both of those, you know. And like you said, it goes back to the accountability. It goes back to just that level of excellence and just showing God. Because if people realize when we do things that God is our manager and not man, that we're doing it. That's why the word tells us to work for the Lord.
Right.
Work as unto the Lord, you know, above anything else. If we do that, then, and even in Proverbs, you'll have favor with man.
Right.
And everything, you know, never let kindness and loyalty leave you.
Right.
You know, so that you'll have favor with man and with God. The scriptures tell us and stuff. Yeah. So you're going to continue to be loyal, continue to have the right spirit. That's where the kindness comes in and stuff and all of that. And everything will just fall into place, you know.
Right.
So good. I love it, man.
Yeah.
But then how do you juggle being the biggest thing is, you know, you're a married man now too.
Yeah.
You know, so how are you kind of juggling all of that? Because your wife is extremely creative as well. So how does that dynamic work with all those things you have to do?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the big things is we're trying to figure out how to do those things together.
Yeah.
Right. So at first, when we first got married, I think we were, you know, we both knew that we were creatives, but we didn't really know how to bring those things together. So it was like, I had my ideas, she had her ideas.
Yeah.
But now it's one of those things where I think we're actively, like, okay, this script that I was just telling you about that I wrote, I involved her in that, right?
Yeah,
like, hey, give me your ideas, give me your feedback. She's Keila's a phenomenal writer. She's a great writer. Yeah. So it's, why would I not take advantage of that, right? But then on top of that, it gives us an opportunity to build things together. Like, I've noticed in my life that some of my closest friends, like you, for instance, are people that I've built something with. You know, there's something about, I think that God just created us to build alongside one another.
Yes.
And so you mend with the people that you build with.
Yes,
and so I think that it's to the benefit of our marriage to build things together creatively. And then also with that too is, you know, this there's a script that she wants to write, and it's not my particular genre of movie, right? But learning how to say, all right, that may not be like what I'm into, but if she's into it, then I can still get into that, right? Like,
and that's definitely the trick, you know, as a creative working with other people, but also in marriage too, in general. You know, it could be a lot of things. Like, I bring a lot of ideas, and then Gabby, she'll bring some ideas and stuff, and it's like, okay, let me pause what I'm thinking, my train for a moment, and get into her world for a second and stuff. So yeah, I totally feel that.
Yeah. So I think those are some of the biggest things. And then this is not really a creative thing, but I love this about my wife.
Yeah.
She started playing Fortnite. I love playing Fortnite, and she started playing. I didn't think she'd like it at first, but she did, and it's just funny now. We just get on and play duos,
Okay, do you know what your love language is?
Yeah.
What's yours? What's yours?
So I'm acts of service.
Acts of service,
and then quality time.
Yeah, those are like what you like to receive.
Right.
Yeah, those are my top two as well.
Okay.
Yeah, literally. So it's funny because you feel so connected to your spouse when they start getting into that stuff, whatever. Like when Gabby started watching like Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, yeah.
That was like, and then she knows all the characters were talking about it. You know, like, this is so great. Yep. And you know, that was our jam, bro. Yep. Hercule. Yes. Just
the worst. Yeah.
Like, Landon walks around doing the same thing all day. I'm like, he's such a buffoon, dude. It's hilarious. But anyway, so yeah, dude. So like when they like get into our world like that, you feel this love. Like the love is just deeper.
Yep.
You know? And then same thing, I love how you're now opening those opportunities to do the same for her and be like, oh, this is your idea. Let's run with it. Let's do something new with it. You know? It's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Love it. So I want you to tell people something that you're working on this year that you're kind of moving toward, or something that you may be promoting that you want them to know about, kind of things like that.
Yeah. Well, I think Write, Film, Edit is probably the main thing. Yeah. I'm also involved with another project I forgot to mention called the Gospel and Race Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So my great friend of mine.
That's with Greg.
Yeah, that's with Greg. Yeah. So Greg Armstrong, he's also a pastor in Westmont, but we do a lot of projects together. Mm-hmm. And he came to me, he's like, dude, I feel like the Lord's telling me I need to speak into this. Mm-hmm. Like, his big thing is how do churches approach multi-ethnic, you know, how do they make that environment in their church? And how do you deal with the complexities of what happens when you do that?
Yeah.
And so this is another example of like, just even serving others with your gifts, right? Like the whole multi-ethnic church thing, like I believe in that, but that's not like my thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not my thing,
but
it's his thing. Yeah. Right. And so I wanted to partner with him, and I said, all right, I'll handle all the creative aspect of it, like the filming, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So definitely check out the Gospel and Race podcast on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then, Write, Film, Edit also on YouTube. We're going to start kicking out more short films and more even just content. So we're also creating content for filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
One of our guys, Josh, he made a short film called Passage.
Mm-hmm.
And just last week, we released a top five things I learned on Passage. Yeah. And, you know, you're getting free wisdom at his expense, right? Like he had to learn the process, he had to make the mistakes, and then you get to learn from the mistakes he made, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, those are two areas I'd point people to.
That's so good. I love it. And I just love media and just being able to use, you know, video and creating content, everything to reach the world. That's why, like, each age is having a shorter time span because everything is just evolving so much quickly. Like, if you think about, like, the like agricultural age was like so long.
Then
we went to the industrial, you know, then technology, information.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're like, you know, stuff is getting to like, you know, AI and all those different things and stuff, whatever. But as you notice, each span of it is getting shorter and shorter because everyone like that is sharing their information.
Right.
And people can just learn and pick it up. We got YouTube. YouTube was like a game changer.
Right.
With everything, you know, that's the main thing and stuff. So, you know, just with this one little camera, we can reach the world literally with this information. So I love that you guys are doing that and taking advantage of that.
Right.
Know? So good.
Thanks.
Yeah, of course. Man, guys, I want you guys to go ahead and follow all that in the description below. You know, we got the links below what Garrett was just speaking about. So go ahead and check that out. But Garrett, as we wrap up each episode, we always leave it with one last thing here is, what's an encouraging word or a motivational thing that you would give to the Kingdom Creative to kind of, you know, push them forward in their craft or what God's calling them to do?
Yeah, I think just kind of what we were talking about earlier is don't be afraid to lay your gifts down before God. I mean, that has, because of my experience with God, that has been one of the foremost things that I, you know, it infects all my sermons and just the way that I disciple people is don't be afraid to lay things down at the feet of Jesus. You can never go wrong doing that. You know, it may not line up with your timing. It may not line up with your desires, but in the end, it's always the best thing for you. So yeah, that'd probably be it.
Oh, man. Hallelujah. Amen. Dude, thank you so much for coming out.
Thanks, man.
This was awesome, bro. Next time we got to have like some chicken or something right here while we do it. We were talking about
like the wings.
Yeah. Which one? Oh,
have
the
you
wings.
Seen that show?
Hot ones. Yeah. It's crazy. Now, you know, I'm always talking about my Korean fried wings.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's a jam. So one day, we got to make that happen. Yeah. That's going to be so good. Yeah, well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another Creative Encounter Podcast episode. Remember, this is a nonprofit through ACT International. So if you guys want to support this ministry, the link is in the description below. You're going to become a monthly financial partner so we continue to do this. So Juett C. Payne Music, us as a band, we continue to release new music and continue to go around and reach the world through music, creativity, art, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But guys, we love you so much. We'll see you next time.